This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Hassan Lateef puts it like this. He went into prison when Ronald Reagan was president, and he got out when George W. Bush was in his second term. Lateef spent 18 years in prison in Colorado for armed robbery. But unlike many inmates who are released, he has stayed out. You see, more than half of the state's prisoners end up back behind bars within just a few years of their release. Lateef is trying to change that. He's the author of the recent book Never Going Back, and he counsels ex-convicts on how to stay out of the system. Lateef spoke with CPR's Elaine Grant.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, Elaine, thanks for having me.
You obviously went through a process yourself of returning to the community and staying out of prison, but you say in the book, I was struck by this, the United States represents only 5% of the world's population, yet over 25% of the entire planet's incarcerated people. Most of those people get out, but you say it's actually easier to get out than to stay out. What did you learn in your own process and the work you're doing now with inmates and people who've gotten out of prison that you think helps people stay out?
If people are able to envision life being different, then they're able to strive for what will bring that about. Most of the people that I work with are accustomed to things being how they've been for so long. They think it's always going to be like it's always been, so they continue to do the things they've always done. Logically, it doesn't make sense, but historically, it's what keeps people going back and forth through this cycle of incarceration. So, one, I try to role model the possibilities for change. I haven't been out so long that people have forgotten me entirely. My name still rings in conversations in the penitentiaries because I go back and forth when I'm allowed to, and I'm engaged in different programs that are still in place trying to help people develop these tools to come out. And so when I'm sitting and working with men recently released, I think it's more impactful because some of them know me from that time. Some of them have heard of me from those years. And the common experiences that we share are the kind that come with their own language, their own set of emotions, their own memories, their own pains. And these are the kind of things that I think afford me an opportunity to communicate on another kind of level with the people that I'm committed to helping.
Why did you think that the book was needed? Did no one try to give you this kind of advice in 18 years, or were you not in a place where you could hear it?
Well, actually, I was one of those people who all my life I felt as though I'd never gotten a chance. No one ever gave me a break, but I always had opportunities. I just did the same thing with them. My wife had me in unofficial therapy for about 12 years. She was reading all kinds of books and sending them to me. The first 3 years, she didn't talk to me about anything because I wasn't trying to hear anything. The next 12 years, she sent me all kinds of books. You know, I was reading one. She sent me one day, and it was telling me to imagine myself on the bank of a stream and a tree to my right with the leaves falling and my problems on each leaf sailing. I said, don't you know where I am? I would throw the books in the corner. I imagine people are throwing my book in the corner now, too. But after some time, I started to connect certain dots. But it started with my trusting her vision. She used to sit across from me, closer than we're sitting now, in visiting rooms. And one day in particular, she was telling me, you know, that I could be a counselor, that I could write a book, that I could go back to school. And I'm looking at her, and I said, Imani, sometimes I don't even think you know who you're with. Because I didn't see any of those things. So I said, well, let me just trust her vision until I could develop one of my own. Eventually, I put myself in a setting, a treatment setting, for those interested in doing some drastic things to change.
A drug treatment group or?
Well, it was a community setting. It was separate from the general population. It had its own housing unit. In the penitentiary, they used to call it the RAT program. Because it was peer-driven, and peers were in agreement to hold each other accountable for their behavior. And so for the general prison population, it was looked upon with disdain. So I just made the commitment to go into this program and see what they had to offer.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Hassan Lateef, who spent 18 years in prison. He now works with inmates and ex-convicts. He's also the author of Never Going Back, 7 Steps to Staying Out of Prison. 18 years is an awfully long time to be in prison. Tell me a little bit about what your experience was like there.
Well, I had some transition issues to start with. I guess we could call them that.
What's a transition issue?
Well, I had a problem being locked up, Elaine. I had a lot of difficulty with that. And so I had a lot of adversarial interactions with staff. And this kind of thing fueled me for quite some time. But after about 4 or 5 years, I kind of stopped going in and out of the hole and started doing some things smarter.
So I imagine that there are actually a number of programs, both within the prison and jail settings and beyond, that are designed to do exactly what you're trying to do, which is to keep people from going back again.
Yes.
What's missing from most of the instruction to people?
I think what's missing is what's missing with an individual, you know, because a lot of these programs have tools that are valid, but it's an individual's commitment and their discipline to practice these kinds of things, I think, that are the difference between success and headlines. For me, I look for a light to come on in people's eyes that I'm working with that tells me they're connecting the dots for themselves.
There are some practical obstacles to staying out of prison. Getting a job as an ex-con, making enough money to live. A lot of people don't have that supportive wife or husband or family that you had. I guess I'm saying a person's attitude isn't everything. There are also external obstacles.
Oh, absolutely. And they have a really nice, neat phrase that capsulizes. They call collateral consequences.
What's that?
Collateral consequences are those things that are still in place that impact a person with a criminal conviction record after they've done their time. For instance, if your family lives in public housing and you are arrested and you go away and do your time and you come back, you cannot return home. Your mother may still be living in the same place. You can't go back there because they risk eviction. If your wife and your children had to go to public housing because of your incarceration, you want to come back and be a part of your family, but you can't go back home. I testified at the state legislature this year on a bill that was passed to eliminate some of these collateral consequences. And so to be a part of that was pretty exciting.
In your work with inmates and people recently released, you've been out now about 7 years or so. Can you tell me a story of someone who you thought wouldn't be able to stay out of prison, but in fact has done the work that you outline in your book or some of the work that, you know, with you and has had a success?
Well, yes, I'll tell you one. It's an ongoing story, and it's one that I'm very moved by. I won't mention the gentleman's name. If he gets a chance to listen to this show, he'll know I'm talking about him. The last time I saw him in a group that I did, he was trying to get himself into a program, drug treatment program called the Crossroads. And I think my work with him and the work with my curriculum put him in a place where he was able to accept the fact that he needed to do something radical and put himself in a setting, a structured setting, or else he was going back to prison.
A structured setting, like a resident?
Yes, an in-house residential kind of setting, because he was on his way back to prison. He had ridden a bicycle drunk into the car of his parole officer parked outside of his building. But I remember him, the last day he came to my group before going into this program, he had to be clean for 72 hours to get into the group. And so he had the DTs, and he had to hold his hand while he was signing in on the sign-in sheet in my group. And it moved me so because, to me, that took strength. You know, it took commitment, even at that level. Well, now this gentleman has completed a culinary arts school, and he called me about a week ago. He called me in the evening, very excited. He got picked up by a local bakery outfit, and he wanted to share that with me. And for me, that's the payoff. I like a paycheck because I have bills, but that's the payoff for me.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hassan Lateef is the author of Never Going Back, 7 Steps to Staying Out of Prison. He spoke with CPR's Elaine Grant, who you'll hear from time to time on our show. She recently joined the Colorado Matters team as senior producer.